Our epistle lesson today is from 2 Corinthians 9. Hear this word of the Lord for you today. The point is this: the one who sows sparingly will reap sparingly, and the one who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. Each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance, so that by always having enough, you may share abundantly in every good work. As it is written, he scatters abroad, he gives to the poor, and his righteousness endures forever. So he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way for your generosity, which will produce thanksgiving to God through us for the rendering of this ministry. Not only supplies the needs of the saints, but overflows with thanksgiving to God. And through the testing of this ministry, you glorify God by your obedience to the confession of the gospel of Christ and by the generosity of your sharing with them and others. While they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God that he has given you, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Friends, this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Good and gracious God, we praise you and thank you for every good gift. And we thank you, Lord, that you are here in this time and place. Open our hearts and minds, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
In the first letter to the church in Corinth, Paul is addressing all kinds of problems within the church. But at the end of the letter, he encourages them to give to the poor and needy, especially their friends in the Jerusalem church. In 2 Corinthians, Paul comes back to this issue of giving. The Christians in Jerusalem, they were being persecuted, they were suffering financially, and Paul recognized this need, so he started a collection for them. And once again, in 2 Corinthians, he asks them to give to their needy brothers and sisters in Jerusalem. Now, we don't know. Perhaps the Corinthians had pledged their support to the Jerusalem church, but just not followed through, and so Paul is reminding them of their commitment. We don't know why they didn't follow through. Maybe times had gotten tough. Maybe they just wanted to hold on to their resources. Don't we all know what that feels like? Ever wanted to be generous, but found that it's just not easy to part with what you have? I think we all have been there, right? I'm guessing the Corinthians were just normal people like us, thinking about what they could be losing if they were to give. Sometimes we give and think, that could have been an insurance payment. Could have fixed the broken car. That was enough to cover groceries. Sometimes we see a loss. But the truth is, whenever we give, whatever it is, God sees a blessing. And God encourages us to see the world in this totally different way. So how do we see giving God's way? Well, think about the metaphor that Paul is using in this passage. He's using a farming metaphor. He's talking about the law of the harvest. The more you sow, the more you gather. In other words, the more you plant, the more crops you have, which makes sense, right? What if Paul is saying that that same law just applies to all of our giving as well? If we're faithful in giving, God provides all that we need and more. In fact, God brings in a harvest to bless others. Listen to Paul again. The one who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. God loves a cheerful giver. God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance so you can share abundantly. He says God will multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness, and you'll be enriched in every way for your generosity, which produces thanksgiving to God. What Paul is talking about in this passage is not fundraising. Our giving season is not fundraising. It's all about this attitude of the heart, of generosity, of stewardship, of knowing that everything we have is a gift from God, and in gratitude, we give. I love what one pastor wrote. Pastor Brian Wilkerson says, "You should feel something when you write the check or put money in the plate at church. A feeling of gratitude for God's goodness, of compassion for the people that you're giving to, maybe even a little twinge of anxiety about the amount you're giving away. If you don't feel anything, you may not be giving generously." Generous giving is also cheerful. God loves a cheerful giver. Giving is really about gratitude. It's not about guilt. It's not about being forced to. Sometimes people say we need to give until it hurts, and there are times when we need that sacrificial giving. But what about giving until it feels good? What about giving until we experience that joy of knowing that we're making a difference? Giving generously brings joy. That's the perspective of God's economy. It's that fuzzy math that I talked about last week. We know what the world says about money. If you give, you will have less. But God's economy is the opposite, isn't it? If you give, you will be blessed. This harvest, Paul is saying that the best way to deal with our worries about our finances, our time, our talent, is to actually give it generously, give it cheerfully, which seems counterintuitive. But it's so true. The more generously we give, the more abundantly God provides. We worry that when we are feeling in need, shouldn't we hang on to what we have? No, not according to the law of the harvest or God's economy. We are called to give generously, and then we are blessed. Now, does that mean that there's like a formula of if you give this much to God, you're going to be rich and have this? No. This is not about being selfish. This is not about personal gain. Yes, we will receive far more blessings than anything we ever give. But God doesn't promise to provide us what society says we should have. We are promised that we will be blessed with enough and then some, what we need and more. We don't give with an expectation of, okay, God will give me this amount in return. We give because what one pastor, Alice Abigail, says, when we are givers, we are like rivers, with blessings flowing in and out of our lives. We give because we want to be like a river with that living water flowing. Giving brings life. It's like that old saying about how you make a living by what you get, you make a life by what you give. We give because it brings joy, it brings life, it brings blessing. And we give because all of it is really from God. It's not ours. We're just taking care of it while we're here on earth. Generosity is not a guarantee that you will never have financial problems or have to go without something, not at all. Instead, it's a promise that God knows exactly what you need. And God can provide so that we can all do what we're called to do. Only God knows how you will be blessed when you give, but the truth is, you will be blessed. I wonder, when have you been blessed and how? Through your giving. That's what I'm asking you to put on the little piece of bread in your bulletin. Stories of why you give, or what happened when you did give. I can think of numerous times in my life when writing a tithe check, I was worried about making it to the end of the month, and then something unexpected would happen, and God would just cover the need. I remember one time I received a St. Francis Hospital overpayment from like years before that just showed up unexpectedly. I remember getting unexpected huge birthday gifts or Christmas gifts of money It seemed like whenever I have been worried about it, blessings come. Somehow, somewhere, and that's God's economy. I wonder if this is what Jesus was saying in Luke 6:38 when he says, "Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For the measure you use, it will be measured to you." I wonder if this is what Jesus meant when he says, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." And Paul recounts those words in Acts 20:35. Jesus and Paul, they didn't have an amount in mind. They were just talking about the act of giving, whenever you feel led to give. So how have you been blessed through giving? How have you experienced that joy of knowing that you're helping put food on someone's table? Or like the McGillan said, you're helping a child grow up in the faith in this church. Or you're helping make sure that someone who is isolated or lonely has this family of faith to come to. Paul says you will be enriched in every way for generosity. That's the harvest. We're blessed when we give in these amazing ways. So when have you seen the harvest? A harvest is really about seeing how you're making a difference, right? Last week, Bill and Teresa talked about giving clean water to Malawi. That's a very tangible way that you see that you're making a difference by saving lives, sometimes of an entire village. Places like Heifer Project and even the Presbyterian Church USA, the mission agency, they have these awesome gift catalogs. You've probably seen them, right? Where you can buy animals for needy families, sometimes clear across the world, as a gift in honor or in memory of someone you know at a holiday or a birthday. Well, what if we had a FPCO gift catalog? What would that look like? I can imagine a picture of all the musicians with a caption that says, "Help us worship God with music." I can imagine a picture of the staff saying, "Support the ministry leaders." I can imagine a picture of our friends in Malawi saying, "Help give them clean water and friendship and prayer." What about a picture of the youth group and kids while they're worshiping or learning or memorizing scripture and it says, "Help these young people grow"? Maybe under a picture of the church building, it might say, "Let's keep these doors open all week long." The possibilities are endless. Because the truth is, when we give, we change lives. It's transformative. You know what Friday was last week? November 1st is All Saints Day. So today, we remember all the saints. All the saints that are around us right now and all the saints that have gone before us to God. This year we said goodbye to some of our saints, right? Some went to heaven. Some moved. And you know what? They were all these generous givers. They were such a blessing to us. And what I hope is that their gifts and all of our gifts we'll just keep inspiring more and more and more giving, more and more ministry and mission, because that's the truth of giving. Generosity is actually contagious, and giving produces a harvest. When we give, we are like rivers with blessings flowing. The question is, does our giving reflect that? When you think about giving of your time and your talent and your money, does it reflect all the blessings in your life? Does it reflect your gratitude to God? Do you feel like a river? Because when we give that way and cheerfully, the blessings are amazing, and that's God's economy. It's not the world's view, but it's God's view. So this week, think about why you give and how you've been blessed through that. I know that every month when Ed and I have our tithe taken out electronically, we get a little notice from the church saying that it has been received, and that is a cue for me to say a prayer of thanks for my family, my husband, this loving church, this great job. I remember how many times the church has literally saved my life, and there are not enough Sundays in a year for me to give sermons on my blessings. So what about you? How do you think of your blessings and being part of the harvest and being a cheerful giver? Friends, hear the good news of the gospel today. The one who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. Each of you must give as you have made up your mind, for God loves a cheerful giver. God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance so that by always having enough, you may share abundantly. Thanks be to God for this indescribable gift. And to that, all God's people say, Amen. Amen. Friends, please stand and let us affirm our faith.